the Rove and Sam catch-up.
Rove, you know how much I relish my privacy.
I sure do. That's why I don't even know your last name.
If you want to make sure you have privacy at your home, I suggest you contact Winston with a Y.
Oh, yeah, of course. They're the family business with over 48 years' experience who can custom make blinds, shutters, awnings and crimp-safe products for your house.
And if you contact them now, you can have it all ready by Christmas.
Oh, that's great, because I'm sick of that guy who keeps breaking in over Christmas and eating all our biscuits.
Who does that?
Oh, I saw him once. He's some guy in a big red suit with a white beard.
That's Santa Champy.
Look, I don't care what his name is. I just want him away from my biscuits.
So for your custom-made blinds, shutters, awnings and crimp-safe products, go to winstonwithay.com.au.
That's Winston, spelled W-Y-N-S-T-A-N.
By the way, Rove, my last name's Frost.
Sam, be careful. Santa could be listening and he'll steal all your biscuits.
Chitty, chitty, chat, 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 chat.
Oh, my God.
Are you okay?
No, I'm not.
You just choked on your own spit, I think.
You knew exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome.
You know me so well.
Aw, cute.
And here was me about to apologise for not noticing your amazing nails sooner.
Thank you.
This is from the wedding on the weekend.
Yeah, from my bro's wedding. I got my nails did. And they're just on point still.
Did we talk about it Monday about the wedding?
Yeah, we did.
I think we did.
Because my brother and his wife. Well, that's fun.
Is it weird to say?
Yeah,
that's
weird.
Right. We're talking because everyone had their time away.
Yeah.
It was like a lovely holiday.
But they listened to the Chitty Chat on the way to their honeymoon. And they're like, thanks for the shout out.
You too.
Cute.
How long does nails, this is a real dumb guy question. How long do they last normally?
Well, these are shellac, so they'll last for a few weeks.
Are they profesh?
Yeah, they're profesh done.
Ruby's just
only 25 bucks.
Oh.
You know, they scrub it off.
25 bucks?
Is that good or bad?
No, I'm shocked. I would have thought they'd charge a fortune.
Nah, because these are my real nails. I mean, they look like they're fake because they're so good.
Yours are great. Look, I'm going to name and shame. If you watch Play School, Eddie Perfect, friend of the show, he has terrible nails. And when they do a close-up of his, an amazing piece of craft that we've done.
Does he have dirt and mud under it?
No, he's just got those weird, like, I say there's boys' nails and girls' nails.
Oh, yeah.
My sister has boys' nails. I have girls' nails. What do you got, Jamie? Show me your hand.
Girls.
Yeah, you got boys. Those are boys' nails.
Good
show
ones.
Me.
They're the short, stubby ones.
Oh, yeah. No,
but look
exactly
at mine, lady
mean.
Nails.
You
slender.
You have lady nails.
They're slender.
Ooh, fancy.
They're perfect for shaping.
Shiny.
Yeah. Well manicured.
Well, I do that anyway. But,
yeah.
Oh. There's more that are oval. Like some sort of the oval goes up and down like an egg and others go sideways. Like
yeah, okay.
Jamie's got sideways ones. Those are bloke's ones.
Yeah.
So Eddie's got nails like that, but somehow they're really indented in his skin.
I know exactly what you mean.
You'll notice it next time he's on the show. That's all you'll be able to think about. But when they're doing like, oh, we made a rocket ship out of a milk carton and some silly string and glitter, and they do a close-up of him pointing to something, like the other day both Taz and I went, whoa, Eddie. I don't know if he chews them or something, but yeah, it's it's just something I think that they should take into account when you audition for Play School.
I think they should too. Well, you got great ones. You should audition for Play School.
Look, I hate to say it, but Taz and I watched it. I reckon she'd be awesome at it. She says she reckons I'd be awesome at it.
A power couple on Play School.
Imagine that.
Power couple. You can hear it. Sounds nice in your ears, doesn't it? Power couple.
Play School power couple.
Yeah.
We're talking to Justine Clark, and you would know this. Bridie's a big fan.
Bridie loves Justine Clark.
She's like a god to those people.
Yeah.
And by those people, I mean the tiny ones.
Watermelon. Watermelon.
Who likes?
I like you like watermelon.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know. I always.
Okay,
Bridie just bumbles over those words.
That's
and
all
I'm
you
like,
need.
Get it right, Bridie. No. I'm just kidding. I love her. She's perfect.
She is.
She's so good.
Oh, my God. There's the most adorable screensaver on Sam's phone at the moment of her with her niece, Bridie.
We're both wearing navy dresses.
Recently turned 3. Had a rocking good party.
She's so cute. I remember you telling me how Ruby strokes your face softly and sits. Bridie was doing that to me on the weekend. She was stroking my face softly and she's like, you're beautiful, Auntie Sam. Oh. And then she kisses one left cheek, kisses this cheek, kiss on the lips, kiss on the nose and kiss on the forehead.
Well, that's a bit adorable.
Oh, cute.
Guys, are you kidding? She's so cute! And when she was doing it, I was like, oh my God, I just want to wrap this moment up and tie it in a bow. You know what I mean? You just want to keep it forever.
It is. And you're trying to take it in and there's part of you like, how do I absorb this? And I am absorbing this, but at the same time, part of me wants to record it so I can play it back if I'm ever feeling
she's
sad
so
or,
cute.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Even like Ruby, she's just so, She's got a lot of flourish when it comes to her adjectives for things. So even like Taz very rarely wears skirts or dresses. She's a pants. She's a t-shirt and pants kind of chick. And she had a skirt on. She was off to a meeting for something the other day. Had a dress. And she, as she's walking off, she's gotten home and then said, oh, you know, let's go check the letterbox. I think there was some mail, which Ruby loves to go do. And as Taz has turned around, the dress has kind of got a little flourish to it as she
beautiful.
Walks off.
Beautiful.
And Ruby just goes, oh, Mummy, your dress is so beautiful. And it's done in this wow kind of way. And then yesterday to me, as a random thing, she was sitting down to eat dinner, and she's looking around. She's got all this cutlery that she got that's been given just for her, and she's looking around, and she just looks a bit perplexed. And I said, "What's the matter?" She said, "I need a fork, stat."
Oh, I was like, excuse? Where did she get that from?
I don't know.
That's the funny part.
I get the feeling she's waking up in the middle of the night. She's tying together a bunch of sheets to climb out of bed. In like a little ladder.
Yeah.
And then she goes downstairs and bloody watches TV. Or she's switching on one of our phones in the kitchen and just watching herself some, I don't know, Grey's Anatomy or something like that.
That's fun.
Crazy. But yes, Ruby's into the nail polish at the moment.
Yeah.
And I was going to get it done, get her to paint mine the other day because my mum was in town and painting hers. But then there was a part of it's like, I don't know how easy this stuff is to get off.
It's pretty easy. If you've got nail polish remover, it's pretty easy.
I guess that's what it's there for.
Yeah. Brides ask me, oh, next time you come up, because she loves my red nail polish as well. Sure. And she's like, you have red nail polish at your home? And I was like, yeah, I do. And she goes, can you bring it to Bridie's house and do her nails? And I'm like, yes.
She's never visited here, has she?
Yeah, she has.
Has she?
Not my new house, my old house, though.
Right.
But she was a tiny little bub, though. Like, my sister's come down by herself when she's just having some girly time. But, yeah, she doesn't remember. But, oh, my gosh, she's so cute.
Speaking of, Jamie looks... Are you flirting with Rocky today? Oh, no, here he is.
Rocky. Speaking of Rocky.
Hey, Rocky boy. Does he speak? Does he do speak?
Yeah, when Sash goes, what's that? And then he, what's that? What's that? Usually barks, and
he's just looking like he stopped. And looked up and went, "What?"
He's not allowed to bark.
Is there a window cleaner?
Yes.
I will go that window cleaner. Okay, because we're not officially live on air now. When the barking happened, someone said, "Oh, he's barking at the Asian guy from sales."
I know.
And I was like, "Oh, he can't. Please be doing that."
No.
Because I've never heard him bark like that.
He doesn't bark. I honestly, he does not bark.
But not it's like only, that anyway. He does, like, he'll do one bark,
little,
maybe.
Like when Sonia, our producer, was stirring him up, he's like, bark, bark. But he went psycho, like, bark, bark. It's actually quite reassuring that he has that in him because, you know, he's quite territorial of his home and obviously everyone at work. There was a window washer and he went crazy, but it was in the same pot as that guy.
So better he's just being territorial of the guy who is, fair enough, looking a bit creepy, hanging on the outside by a couple of cables. What's your story?
Exactly.
As opposed to he's racist.
I know, but he is a bit of a racist dog.
Remember the cardboard cutouts of Drake before Bo stole them?
Yeah.
And Rocky was...
Yeah. Rocky didn't like Drake. It sounds horrible, but he genuinely gets funny. And it's like, it's very embarrassing.
The thing is, it could also be you look like... Because I don't know how dogs receive their information and what they interpret it as. But let's say he can see the same way we see. So what he sees is someone who looks like a human being but doesn't smell like a human being and isn't moving. You would be sitting there going, like, that's probably Rocky going, what's your problem? What's your problem? What do you want? You want a piece of this? I'll have you. Oh, yeah, just going to stand there and say nothing. I'll take you. I'll take you now.
Yeah.
And he's right. But because Drake obviously is not white, everyone's like, oh, he's a bit racist.
Yeah, but
you know what? Maybe he just likes easy listening. Maybe he likes a bit more of the pop and not so much of the R&B.
Mm. Yeah.
What I'm saying is I'm glad Bo Ryan stole that cardboard cutout.
There you go, Rock.
It is a fine show today. We have an exclusive chat with Vince Vaughn.
Oh,
did
fantastic.
You like yourself some Vaughn?
I love Vince Vaughn. He's a hottie patottie.
Tom Gleason joins us and especially for a little something we're going to do with a nice twist on my complaints department. Sam and Rocky, per our conversation yesterday, Chitty Chatters, I told you it would make it into the show. It will be here. And also, if you care about Australian Survivor, then we have the winner, Christy, and runner-up, Lee. And
Lee's
that's just the tip of the iceberg. Yeah, now that he's got skin on his bones.
Yeah, he's a bit hot.
He looks good. Speaking of, Jamie.
Hi.
Did I cover off the right stuff?
Yeah.
Great! All that and possibly more, I really don't know anymore.
Who knows?
Oh, it's one of those days, guys. It really is one of those days. Here's the Significantly Edited Catch-Up.
Roach and Sam. Thanks for catching up on your favourite show on this podcast. Now, if you're a tragic Twitterer, you upload on Instagram or you stream all your favourite songs, you're going to love this deal from OVO Mobile. Switch to an OVO data sim now and you'll score an unbelievable 50 gigs for $59.95 on 4G. No contracts, no catches, and no more texts telling you about the additional 10 bucks for 1 gig added to your already expensive phone plans. Can I get an amen? And as if that isn't brilliant enough, OVO is going to give you the first month half price. So let's break this down. One whole month to enjoy 50 gigs on 4G for just $59.95 and the first month half price. 50 gigs of YouTube, social media, FaceTime, Tinder, whatever you want on the World Wide Web for half the price I know I was paying before I made the switch. ilovedata.com.au. You can open up the website right now while we get back to your favourite show. Roach and Sam.
We have a very confronting topic, guys. I'm sorry you have to hear it from us. But there was a photo that was being passed around on social media of two men, two grown men, sharing a picture of a FaceTime that was
a screenshot
of a FaceTime conversation that was happening. One of them was our boss. The other one was another employee in the building. The other guy was in the bath as they were FaceTiming each other. One of them is on what is meant to be a man's trip, his Bucks party happening in Las Vegas.
Yep.
He is FaceTiming with another guy from work and that guy is in the bath.
Wet,
naked.
And wet and smiley, like extra smiley, like, ooh.
With a torso like a baby girl. And then he's decided, the guy in the bath, I should point out, to take a screen cap and post it on social media. It's disgusting. It's creepy. So we'll make sure we have it up at Rove and Sam to shame these two clowns. They need to, if they're posting it, we're posting it. Do not look at me like we won't post this picture.
We're just doing a sneaky repost.
Come on. I want to make sure it's up. Tell me when it's up. I need to see this.
But guys,
who does this?
You can't be doing that.
You too.
And it makes it weird for everyone in the office because, you know, if you've
one of them's got a naked head, the other's got a naked torso.
Especially if you've got work colleagues on your social media. Don't go posting that. Now we all feel weird.
And
we feel weird looking at them.
Firstly, you're a grown man taking a bath. What are you?
Hey.
What are you?
Sasha Dean doesn't mind a bath.
Well, he's allowed to. Who wouldn't want to see that?
Everyone.
If I was Sasha, I'd want to sit in a tepid soup of my own filth just to stare at my junk.
I drink the bath because it's all of his filth.
But if... Okay, we're getting sidetracked here.
Guys, I'm just joking.
It's good filth, guys.
Sort of joke.
You're probably backtracking. If I may, quickly, Sam, you're probably responsible for half of that filth on him anyway, like young lady, if he's having a bath. Am I right?
You are so right.
Anyway, back to the two creeps having some weird homoerotic FaceTime with each other. So, of course, got us thinking. There are so many things that are wrong with this picture. Firstly, you're on a bloke's trip in Las Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Isn't that how it goes?
Why are you FaceTiming your work colleague?
Hey, miss you. No, you should be out there shoving money into a stripper's G-string or getting handcuffed to a light post and being covered in shaving cream.
Yes.
Not FaceTiming with someone. And you, the guy on the other end, firstly, don't take a FaceTime call in the bath. Secondly, don't take a screen cap. And thirdly, don't post it on social media.
What happens if you lowered it by accident or
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway.
Do you remember that episode of The Simpsons?
Yeah.
With Mr. Burns, when he was staying at the Simpsons house and he got out of the shower for a second. Picture that, guys. Why would you take a screen cap of that?
But what can't grown men do together is what we want to know.
In one picture alone, there's about 10 things on that list.
You can't share popcorn. There's one.
You can't.
That's weird.
Hold hands?
No. No.
That would weird people out sometimes. Who knows? Let's find out. 13 10 60. What can't grown men do together?
Go to the roller skating rink.
Roller skating rink. What if you saw two guys sharing a milkshake with a couple of straws, like a promo shot from Friends?
No.
What about that?
No.
What do you reckon, Sydney? 13, 10, 60.
Rose and Sam.
Sammy boy kicking it off. What can't two grown men do together?
They can't share an umbrella.
Share an umbrella.
Oh, you know what? Good one, Sam. Jeez.
Thanks,
Sammy.
It's true. Pusher.
I have actually just completely walked out in the rain.
I think it'd be kind of cute, though. It's kind of cute.
You would. Have you tried this, Sam? If people judged you, is that how this has come about?
I have, and you get too close to your mate and you start, you know, pushing against each other. It's not okay. Oh,
and there's always the awkwardness of
a little bit hot.
Who holds the handle?
Yeah.
Sam seems
steps in each other's face.
Yeah.
Sam seems very scarred by this.
Willie in Bankstown. Good morning, Willie.
Hello. Good morning, Rob and Sam. How are you?
Very good, Willie.
We're great today. Thank you. Now, what can't grown men do together, Willie?
Share a motorbike or ride behind one another on a motorbike.
You know what one of my favourite things about seeing two guys on a motorbike is? They feel so weird holding on to each other that they're like, it's like they stand really stiff and tall. Like, I don't need to hold you. I don't need to hold you. I don't need to hold you. And then they nearly fall off.
Willie,
it's quite entertaining.
Oh, yeah, you're right, Sam. They don't hold on. They hold the back of the seat of the bike.
And you know that you're worried about falling off. Just hold on to your mate. Stop being a weirdo.
Willie, are you a double biker?
No, I'm not. I'm always a single rider. I ride solo.
Yeah, for that reason.
Yeah. It's just awkward, you know, having another guy's arms around your waist. Like, I'm not homophobic anyway, but it's just weird another guy's hands are touching my love handles.
Of course we
do.
Oh, Willie.
Mate, he's always entertaining, old Willie from Bankstown.
Nice one, Willie boy.
Tyler in Mona Vale. Good morning, Tyler.
Morning, how are you?
Good.
Very well. What can't grown men do together?
They cannot rub sunscreen on each other.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I can't even get my wife to do it, let alone find... My wife does not like touching. She's just like, it's slimy. It's there's something about the human back that feels like a disgusting part of your body. Imagine being down at the beach and saying...
Backs are sexy. I love backs.
Imagine saying to your mate, Tyler, could you just rub it down the small on my back for me?
No, I find it hot.
Get it in the shoulders.
I've actually changed my mind about this thing, and I think all those things are pretty hot.
Really?
Yeah.
You're a creep. Hop in a bath and FaceTime.
Rose and Sam. One of Australia's favourite comedians and good friend of the show, Tom Gleeson, swings by to talk about his new show, Hard Quiz. If Tom likes his quizzes hard, let's see him answer this. Who's got two thumbs, a tongue, and a desire to ask obscure questions? That's right. Fill the work experience, kid. Put your creepy thumbs and tongue away, you sex pest.
Phil has problems.
Oh, dear.
Hello, Tom Gleeson.
Good morning.
How are you feeling? You ready for your new telly show?
Oh, yeah, I'm very excited because often I watch TV and I think, what's missing? And the answer is me. So I just get to sit at home and watch myself. What a treat.
Look, I'm going to call it. It's fine seeing you on the weekly, of course, but it's about time that you shunted old Pickering aside and took your place front and centre.
Well, I always loved the weekly with Charlie Pickering. It's a great show, but that was the one thing I just thought if there was more of me on it,
it would be better.
So what we've done is we've made a show where it's only me and no Charlie, and it's a massive improvement.
Now, Hard Quiz, I assume that you bring the hard as you normally would.
Yes.
And I think sorely lacking in the quiz format.
Yeah, well, it's a quiz. It's a genuine quiz show. I don't want people to think that the whole thing is a parody. It's not. It's an actual quiz show, and we've got people in off the street. And so the questions are very difficult. And they try to answer them on their own expert subjects. But while they're doing it, I give them a bit of a hard time.
Now, I've been in the driver's seat of something like this before with a bunch of pretentious school kids. So did you have to do any kind of like... You do have to do proper game show host training because there's rules about... Or is it because this is your show and it's hard, all rules go out the window?
Yeah, well, I just thought of what other game show hosts do and I do the opposite. So... That was my training. So, you know, like quite often when a contestant has to leave a show, as when they left your show, Rove, you're often nice to them. Thank you for turning up. Sure. You know, oh, it's a bit of a shame that you didn't get that one right. I do the opposite of that. I invite them over. We discuss their faults. we talk about what they could have done better. I give them a bit of honest feedback, and then they're gone.
Here's my thing. I reckon this is what most game shows, if not all of them, are lacking, is a bit of hard. I'd say, you know, Maguire's a pussy. Denya's a pussy.
Yep.
I don't even know if I keep. Does he still do it? Does he do the, what's the hot seat? The chase?
Yeah. The chase. It's still chase. Happening, I think. Yeah.
Pussy.
Well, they're all going to watch this show and they're going to be devastated because I'm going to be hosting the show using their internal monologue. All the things that they've ever thought about a contestant, I'm going to say. I'm not going to lie to you. Within a couple of episodes, I tell one of the contestants to go get nicked. Anyway, I've said it a nice way, but
you use the F word.
I use the F word.
Oh, mate.
And you know what the ABC said? Oh, we'll just leave it in. We're pretty relaxed over at the ABC.
It's great to see the F word on a game show that isn't family or feud.
You know what it's kind of like? It reminds me of, it's like Naomi Robson from Today Tonight, her outtakes, except it's your actual show.
Yeah, yeah. They're the intakes. We keep them. We just cut out the bits. This actually sounds like a joke, but it's not. We actually edit out the bits where I was accidentally polite. Because every now and then I might offend someone and I'll say, oh, sorry. Well, and then so we cut out me saying sorry and we just leave in the part with me staring at me.
I can imagine, yeah, the stitch up for Tom Trump style will be, yeah, you're just waiting for that Christmas tape of you just doing the right thing and being polite. Well, look, Tom, I'd like to see if you can put some of your hard skills to the test for us. We have a little something that I do regularly called Rose Complaints Department, and I think even I don't go hard enough.
All right.
But with you here, I'd like you to give me a little bit of ham. Will you do that for us?
Happy to.
Thank goodness. We plan to do that next.
May I have your attention, please?
Your call will be answered by the next available representative.
Ah! Rose Complaints Department, please hold.
Yes, my complaints department is open for business. So, Tom, here's what I normally do. I stand up for the little man against the big multinational corporations. NASA, done. McDonald's, done.
IKEA,
done.
Yes.
But I've got a beef with the Hard Rock Cafe.
I always call them the Hard Rock Cafe.
I don't reckon they're hard enough.
Yeah.
You know, when you walk into the store, does someone punch you in the stomach? No. Oh. They show you the entree menu.
Yep.
It's weak. So
yep.
I think they need a bit of special Tom Gleason magic. Because if someone's going to complain, it's you, the king of hard.
I can do it on behalf of you, Rove, easily.
That'd be great. Well, I'll dial them up and then you just do what you need to do. Let's do it.
Thank you for calling the Hard Rock Cafe on Hollywood Boulevard.
Hi, thank you for calling Hard Rock Cafe on Hollywood Boulevard. This is Maddie. How can I rock your world?
Oh, hi, Maddie. It's Tom here from Australia. I just wanted to make a complaint. Should I make it to you or do you have a complaints department?
Well, I'm sorry. We don't have a complaints department, but if you want to talk to a manager, I could grab some for you.
Yeah, go and grab the manager. Let's sort this out.
Okay, give me one moment.
Even that was a bit too polite. She should have just hung up.
If they were really hard, they would do that. Or they threaten your family.
Or smash the phone. They'll start by saying, hello, are you enjoying yourself? Or are you having a nice day?
How can I rock your complaint?
Yeah.
Thank you for holding. This is Marley speaking. How may I rock your world?
Oh, hi there. Yeah, I don't want my world rocked. I just want to make a complaint about the Hard Rock Cafe. Because I went there and I just thought it's not hard rock enough. You know, it's just, even just then you said, you know, I hope I can rock your world. You're kind of polite. I just felt like I was going to go in there and I was hoping that the waiters would be smashing furniture and stuff. It's just all a bit, it's just a bit soft rock.
Well, I mean, if they would let us smash furniture, I'm sure the staff would have fun with that.
well, that would be great. Because the thing is, you go in and it's not really hard rock. I mean, on the walls, there's all these discarded guitars from rock stars, and I'm guessing it's not their favourite guitar, and you've dressed it up to look like it's a really cool guitar. I mean, it looks like a pawn shop, you know?
Can I get your name and number, and I'll get you the corporate information if you want to send an email to them.
But even that, like, I mean, what? You're supposed to be a Hard Rock Cafe, and you're telling me that I need to send someone in corporate an email? I mean, that is not hard rock. Hard rock should be, come down here and you can punch the CEO in the face.
I mean, we're a large corporation and we have to adhere to obviously rules and regulations and everything. So, I can get you the corporate information if you want to send an email over to them.
See, this is the thing. When I got into hard rock, I didn't get into it for rules and regulations.
Would you like the corporate information?
Yeah, I guess so. All right, give me the corporate information.
Okay. Well, let me grab that for you.
Do the suits in corporate, are they more like they take their ties off and wear them around their head? Are they more that kind of corporate, you know? Are they sort of, or are they just actual corporate?
It depends on who you're talking to there.
Okay.
Let me see. So hold on just a second. Let me see if I can find that information for you, okay?
Don't palm me off to corporate. I'm going to hang up on you.
Oh, he's done it. I think, have they done? They're off. Yeah. Oh, that's how you do hard.
This is how you do it.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Well, my goodness.
That is not
hilarious.
Hard. Try to palm me off to corporate. Yeah, we're not hard enough. Oh, hang on. I need to check. We're a corporation. We've got to check our rules and regulations. I mean,
depends which member of the upper echelon you talk to, whether they'll have a tie around their head. Like, just one will, but the rest won't. Oh, Tom Gleeson, beautifully done.
Thank
welcome,
you very much.
Welcome
thank
to the,
you so much.
To yeah, I the think, Complaints Department Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah, Soft Rock Cafe. That's what it's called now.
Well, the hard quiz is on ABC Wednesdays, 8 o'clock on the ABC. Tom Gleeson, thank you very much, mate.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Rove and Sam.
If you're stepping over the line, you know you are.
I hate you so much right now!
Put your manners back in.
I hate this goddamn job and I don't need it!
Shut the f*** up!
Workplace Dummy Spits.
Oh, I'm a little bit obsessed with Workplace Dummy Spits. We've done it once before. Mm-hmm. And a brilliant caller called in when he was made redundant. He went around the office full movie style and said, "You're an a-hole, you're an a-hole, you're an a-hole." And just basically listed all the things he hates about them. And I think that is just brilliant.
Absolutely. 13 10 60. We'd love to hear your Workplace Dummy Spit. We've mentioned it before with Nick Kyrgios. Just on the tennis court. Just go, "No, I don't want to play tennis anymore."
Oh,
that's a Workplace
like, well,
Dummy
don't
Spit.
Don't then. Suki Lala,
Donald
get out.
Trump. He's about to give us another speech again today. I'm sure he'll have a Workplace Dummy Spit. You're running for President of the United States. And all he's doing is whinging the whole time. "Ooh, it's rigged and the polls aren't true and blah, 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 blah." I'm not sure if you heard it, but Barack Obama, current president, of course, was on Jimmy Kimmel the other night and he was reading out mean tweets.
Yeah.
And one of them came up from Trump. He had a great response to it.
"My mom bought new conditioner and it sucks. It isn't even conditioning my hair. I blame Obama." "Barack Obama, bro, do you even lift?" "Well, I lifted the ban on Cuban cigars. That's worth something." "President Obama will go down as perhaps the worst president in the history of the United States!" Exclamation point. "At real Donald Trump." "Well, at real Donald Trump, at least I will go down as a president."
Yay! Yeah.
It's almost like Obama's leaving the White House going, "You're an a-hole, you're an a-hole, you're an a-hole."
Good on him. I would be doing exactly the same thing.
So 13, 10, 60, we would love to hear your Workplace Dummy Spit. Maybe it was you or someone you know. Maybe you're still even there and just cracking the shits as we speak.
Rove and Sam.
Rick in Liverpool, good morning.
How you going?
Very well, thank you. Have you had a Workplace Dummy Spit?
Oh, yeah, one of many.
Oh, please, elaborate.
Well, over 10 years ago now, I used to work for a bench top place doing stone bench tops and, you know, working for a couple of years, you know, never had a problem with the boss, always got along, even became his driver for a while. Started polishing a bench top one day, decided to come in a bad mood, started looking over my shoulder and started giving me pointers, and then he started telling me exactly, you know, "No, no, you're doing it wrong, you're doing it wrong." After a while, I said, "Look, just let me finish it and then you can make a judgment and tell me to do it again." Didn't let me finish it, kept going, going, going until I grabbed the tool, put it straight in his hand, grabbed my factory keys, threw them at his chest and told him to go F himself.
Oh!
When you say in his hand, do you mean you stabbed him in the hand or you just gave it to him and said, "Here you go"?
No, it's just the polishing tool. So I just grabbed his hand, put it in his hand. I said, "You do it.
You do
if
it.
You can do such a good job."
Yeah.
Give him his keys, walked off, never went back.
Good
nice.
On you, Rick. Nick in North Sydney, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, what's your Workplace Dummy Spit?
Well, I was on the job site, it was only a couple of months ago, and my boss had already kept me back the day before, and he told me he planned on doing it for the next few months, and I wasn't bloody happy about it, so I threw my coffee in his face.
Oh, Nick. That's like a that's classic out of a film.
Yeah, I've never seen someone do that in real life, and I would love to, Nick.
That's why I kind of really love it.
To be honest, it wasn't boiling hot. It's pretty cool. But
it's the visual. It's the visual. It's up there with someone gets a pie in the face and then they do the double-handed scoop out of the eyes. Just that idea of it with it dripping down their face. Nick, and how was the reaction?
The reaction was actually, to be honest with you, it was a smile.
Yes.
And then really? It was and then I was hauled off the work site.
Right.
And for a few words, because I did it in front of some juniors, which I think have got the wrong idea going forward.
It's a good thing for them to see. Good thing for them. Imagine that. I would love to be a junior to go, I've actually seen it happen. You've done yourself a service, Nick.
Tina in Seven Hills, good morning.
Good morning, Diane.
Now, what's your workplace dummy spit?
Oh, my God. Sitting like at a table, like the boss was putting some figures up on the board and no one was listening. Looked over at him, no crap, a vein appeared in the side of his neck. He lost his shit and that board went over, smashed the board to the ground.
Oh, so he had the dummy spit and just trashed the board.
Oh, no, he lost it. Yep, like a school teacher.
Ah, idiot. Man, what meetings with whiteboards. Haven't we all been there?
We have one every single day with
That's
a whiteboard.
That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
That's what
right.
I mean. Exactly. I'm surprised this one doesn't get someone smashing it with the vein. I love it.
Rose and Sam.
And last night, we're just helping her with the headphones.
Sorry,
Christy.
Guys.
I don't want to say idiot, but here we go. Congratulations. We've got Christy, our winner from Australian Survivor, runner-up Lee, joining us. Well done, you two. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Guys.
You guys look healthy and fantastic. Did you just gain the weight back straight away?
Yeah, pretty much instantly, just stuffing your face the second you got out. And
yep.
It was so
no
good.
Exercise.
Now, sometimes in the past, they set up, like on the last couple of days, an experience. And if anyone's seen any of the stuff where you guys go back to the hotel afterwards that they have online, the big thing is when you guys see yourselves for the first time in 55 days, we've seen the transition. You haven't. What was it like, Christy, the first time you see your reflection of what you look like?
I was just thinking, where have I disappeared? Just my collarbones were sticking out. I looked sick. I was white. Like, my hip bones were out. Like, I didn't recognize myself at all. And I could see the, like, trauma, I guess, from the experience just on my body. Like,
I kind of liked my look. It was like, I'm just going for that hobo look. Yeah.
You look terrified.
Oh, it was horrible. My face started caving in on itself.
Now, as fans of the show, you would have expected 39 days. They always do 39. So,
yeah.
Lee, when did you know it was going to be 55 and how did you react to that?
When they told me I was on and they said, by the way, did you realise it's 55 days? Actually, it was one of the first interviews I had.
Right.
I said, 55? Isn't it supposed to be 39 like America? No, we do things differently here in Australia.
So for those who can't even begin to imagine the experience, what is the worst part of 55 days of the Survivor experience?
Oh,
the nights.
The nights, nighttime when it's pissing down with rain. And
yeah, when it's raining and you've got a shelter that's not quite stable and you're sleeping on sand with crabs crawling over you and a few ticks and mites and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, crabs.
That's a little bit
It's the crabs. Lee. Well, we're learning a lot today.
We were spooning a lot, so there was a lot of... Yeah.
Well, of course, what an incredible final immunity challenge. 6.5 hours standing on logs. And look, there was a moment, Christy, you've looked at Lee and you had no option but to beg.
Lee, you've got to let me have this one. You've got to let me have this one.
Babe, I don't want to go home.
I'll take you. I'll take you. If you let me have this immunity, I will take you.
And that's the moment when Lee threw the challenge.
Apparently, yeah.
Did you throw it? Come on.
I didn't throw it, man. She won that fair and square because when she said that, we stood up for another 5 minutes and because the girls could move around, they're doing pirouettes on this log. I couldn't move. I've got no knee. I've got no cartilage left on my knee. Right. So I just stood like a statue for 6.5 hours and there was no blood supply going through my hand and I went to move and literally just I blacked out and caved in. So she won that fair and square.
Yeah. I was just going to say, now, Christy, Flick has called you an idiot. Do you kind of go... Now that you've, got 500,000, you're just like, mate, now who's laughing? Oh. It's kind of a good feeling, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a good feeling. But I saw on the other night, when she said that to me, I said, we'll see.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so...
did you speak to her afterwards?
Yeah, I did. She is... just like you proved me wrong. And she just respects my game, which is amazing, and I respect her game.
And you, she got your vote anyway. So, Lee, it
no
seems...
No one respected my game.
I was going to say, was Elle the only one who voted for you?
That's the only vote I needed.
How does that make you feel? Like, where did you think you massively went wrong then?
I have no idea. I was in an alliance with those guys for 30-odd days, so I thought, well, it was either going to go one way or the other. I'm going to sort of support that friendship and sort of bond that we had, or say, hang on a sec, I'm a super fan. How the hell did someone like you get on there when you've only watched two or three episodes? And how did you get there? So, and that went that way. And obviously they respected Christy's gameplay more than mine.
And, of course, the relationship outed at Tribal Council last night.
In answer to your question, it'll be pretty short. There is no romance going on. You know, yes, we spooned every night, but it was a comfort spoon more than anything. That's as far as it went. I can assure you that I have not led Elle on at all with regards to our relationship.
Oh, well, so Lee, what happened? Was it more of afterwards?
Yeah, we knew there was a connection and a bond on the island. We said, well, let's wait till we get home and wait for the circus to die down, and then let's see if there's something there. And
so, how does that happen? How does it switch from just, hey, let's catch up afterwards, to, you know, once you're back home, you'd think things would change?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we wanted to find out, to see whether things were going to be the same. And they were, you know, from that first date at Maxi Brenner where we just smashed so much chocolate in, we thought, yeah.
That's a teensy bit cute. And I bet you your spoon wasn't just a spoon, let's be honest. You're both, you know, a male and female on an island.
No comment.
So who made the first move?
Oh, Elle did, yeah. She was all over him, man. Yeah. Like, just step off, man. Yeah, we've got a game to play here.
And have you snuffed each other's torches yet?
There's plenty of snuffing going on.
Well, congratulations to the two of you. What an endurance test. You did very well to make it through to the end. And congratulations, Christy. Inaugural Australian Survivor Champion. Well done.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so, so much.
Rove and Sam. Actor and Hollywood star Vince Vaughn joins us to talk about his role in the new Mel Gibson movie, Hacksaw Ridge. When I heard that Vaughn was in a war movie, I thought he was making a comedy. But it turns out this one's actually serious. Well, great, because now who do I pitch my funny war movie ideas to? I got Apocalypse Bro, The Beer Hunter, and Saving Private Parts. I mean, they're not going to make themselves. Can someone get Will Ferrell on the phone to me, stat?
G'day, Vince Vaughn. How are you?
Good, Will. How are you?
Very good, man. Things good?
Things are great. How about yourself?
Oh, I feel so good. It sounds like you're enjoying a snack.
I just got done having a piece of bread, but don't tell anyone.
Oh, not just a piece of bread? You're carb loading.
Carb loading, baby.
Vince Vaughn, we are very excited that you are part of Hacksaw Ridge. What an incredible story. Now, for us in Australia, we were not aware of the tale, but this is an incredible story. Did you know about it going into it beforehand?
You know, I didn't know about it. I had never heard of the story. And, you know, when it came across my desk, I was blown away by the story. And then when you look it up and fact check it, and I saw the documentary on it, the guy's, what he did was even more remarkable than what was in the movie. It was unbelievable, sort of the harm's way he put himself in and the way that he did it. And then, you know, for me, I have known Mel for a while. I've always been one of my favorites, and he's my favorite director. So to know that he was going to be telling this story about a person really made it an easy choice for me. He's such an amazing storyteller.
Are you nervous when it's... had you met Mel before to be able to go, you know, going into the audition? I would have been shitting my pants.
Yeah, no, I didn't. He offered me the part. I didn't audition for it. I had known Mel. I had known Mel for a while. So I had hung out with Mel a few times prior to, and always had a good laugh with him, and always he has a good sense of humor, always enjoyed his company. So, yeah, I was definitely excited because I love his storytelling.
Now, we were talking to Teresa Palmer, who's also in the film.
She's a beauty.
Oh, my God, yes. We grow them well down here. And she was saying that, you know, Mel, very down to earth. Sometimes, you know, he's just turning up on set. He's just got a singlet on, just being him. You know, he's obviously had tremendous success. Do you feel now, though, he's done his penance? For a while there, he was in the Hollywood doghouse. And the hope is that people will come to this movie without any of his previous stigma attached and just enjoy it for what it is, which is a great movie. Do you think people will be able to do that?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I don't speak to any of that. I've always loved Mel. I've always known him to be such a good guy. And I think everyone that knows him to be that way. He's a tremendous guy. He's so giving and always been so considerate and helpful to young directors. I think everyone that knows him has always really been quite fond of him. And I think as a storyteller, he's just so undeniable. So, you know, the truth of it is, for me, in an era where movies just don't get made unless there's a sequel, unless they can see a franchise out of it, sadly, the fact that there's a movie being made that really is a one-off, that's just about a person that had so much conviction, I think it's so wonderful to even have this being made at this time. I think that's the biggest thing out of it. It's nice to have a movie about people that, you know, stay true to a conviction and are rewarded and reward people around them for that. Sadly, you know, as a kid, there was more of these stories around us. It's one of the things that made me want to be involved in storytelling. So it's nice that there's a film that's inspiring like that, that's out there and made so well by one of the great directors of all time.
And Vince, you're absolutely incredible in this film. And, you know, most people know you for your comedic roles. What was it like, you know, off the set? Were you guys all laughing? And was it quite, I guess, humorous? And were people joking around?
Well, I really love Australia. The young actors who were all Australian, just about, I mean, all the other members of the platoon were just phenomenal. These kids were very serious actors, took their role very seriously, came in very prepared and committed, and yet were very down to earth and supportive of each other. There was no kind of one-upping each other. The group of kids there were really supportive, and we had a lot of laughs. It was really good camaraderie. We joked around quite a bit. They all had a great sense of humor. There was a good time had by all. I mean, I think we all believed in the story we were telling, and obviously in the filmmaker, so there was a real commitment and dedication to being focused and doing your best. But we definitely had a good time, and I think that really helped and shows on screen. There was a real friendship and a real camaraderie that developed that I think, you know, really helped translate in seeing these characters all get along and have a genuine love for each other.
Yeah, look, it's safe to say we're pretty proud of our Aussies down here. Many of the scenes were shot in Sydney, of course, and, you know, what was it like working with the Aussies, you know, in their natural habitat?
Yeah, like I said, they were great. You know, I really enjoyed it. The crews were great. We had a lot of fun. It was nice for me. I got to bring my family down there, my kids, and great memories for us to get to spend that time. Sydney is such a great city, and it was just wonderful for them. We got to go to some of the beaches and enjoy that, and, you know, go out to a bunch of the great restaurants there and neighborhoods. Of course, the parks are terrific. So it was a wonderful time for my family to get a chance to be there. It was beautiful.
Now, you had been here before. Did you prepare them for how big our bats are? That's the main thing people get terrified about when they first land in Australia. Our bats are enormous.
Well, you guys got a lot of fun animals down there, kangaroos and stuff. But I got to tell you, I think my kids were slightly disappointed. They were koala crazy. What they didn't know is the koalas are the runway models of the wild kingdom. They sleep all day. They don't really try real hard. They don't have to go out of their way to be charming because they're so darn cute. So, yeah, we went to the zoo, and they made a big deal that one of them had half an eye open. That was a great time going to the zoo and getting a chance to see everything. And everyone was so welcoming and accommodating. And I think the nicest thing about it is the sense of humor. I like to laugh at stuff and enjoy my time. And I felt like I had a lot of good partners in crime and that down there.
It seems like you did. And you do play Sergeant Howell to Andrew Garfield's Desmond Doss. He's the hero of our piece. He goes to war, doesn't want to kill somebody, doesn't want to take a gun. You play the drill sergeant in pure drill sergeant fashion. There's a great scene where you were just tearing strips off all your cadets, as it were, and I just want to play you a little grab here.
The name is Ghoul, you say?
Walker.
Ghoul it is.
Yes, Sergeant!
What is your name, soldier?
Speedy Riker.
No, your name is Private Idiot. Name, Private.
Desmond Dawes.
I have seen stalks of corn with better physiques. Corporal! Sergeant, make sure you keep this man away from strong winds.
Look, I'm sure it's pretty much what it's like, but geez, you bring the funny as well. I heard that a lot of that was just they let the cameras roll and you just did your thing. Is that true?
Well, Andrew Knight, who's an Australian writer, did a tremendous job. That scene was very, very good from the beginning. And then, you know, Mel likes to play around a little bit, and so do I. So we just kind of added on stuff. And as we were there with particular actors, you could kind of play around and draw things from it. But the foundation of it was really there in the screenplay. The majority of the things I say were written. But, yes, we did get to play around and improvise a little bit. But, you know, the mission of a drill sergeant, especially at this time, you are going to war. So the objective is... you must have these boys be prepared enough that when things get chaotic, they can return to their training and not panic, or they will die, and their brothers in arms will die. So you have to try to prepare them through creating chaos and challenging them. And then a little bit of a sense of humor, you know, having a military in my family, a lot of the sergeants that can kind of be a little jovial and joke a little bit, you can get their attention, they can trust you a little bit, and it kind of helps with the main mission, which is the, again, come together as a unit and be prepared.
And Vince, you currently have a very bald head.
That's right.
And I've actually found it quite entertaining. Some people, you know, online were confusing you for Bruce Willis, which I just find quite laughable. But you do actually look quite different. Now, you did that for a role, right?
Yeah, I did. Just got done doing another movie. It's going back, thankfully. At my age, you don't know if that's going to happen or not.
Yeah.
But I'm proud to report. You know, I find that me and Teresa Palmer have a little bit in common. I've been next to her here. Of course, she's pregnant. She's rubbing her belly all the time. And since I'm still kind of a little bit bald, I find that I'm rubbing my head all the time, although it's not going to give birth to anything. But, yeah, I'm glad it's growing back. But for the movie, we went nice and clean-shaven, which was something different. It was good for the character and stuff. But my daughter kept saying, Daddy's bald. She would find it hilarious. If I'd drop off at school when I got back, I'd wear a baseball hat, and she'd pull it off and kind of mock me in front of the class. So.
Have you done that before? I've shaved my head once. It feels so weird. Like the first time you have a shower and you actually feel water on your scalp, you get out in the sun, you forget you've got to put lotion on your head as well. It's a weird, weird feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I kind of forgot that I didn't have hair sometimes because you're just not used to it. But it is kind of team efficiency for sure. You just sort of go. But I had taken it down with clippers short, but never shaven to the scalp before. So it was definitely a different feeling than I was used to. But I'm glad to be returning to some hair, unless of course I get called to do the pit bull life story. I think I'll probably grow my hair back here.
Well, we are looking forward to whatever comes next, and especially Hacksaw Ridge, which is on its way November 3rd. Always a pleasure. Vince Vaughn, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Such a delight to talk to you guys. Enjoy your day there.
Will do, my friend. Thank you very much.
Rose and Sam.
Yesterday, Sam, we were having a discussion about a big life choice that you are willing to make on a whim simply because I said, oh, maybe it's a good idea. And I think our listeners might have the same effect on you. What is it?
Look, Rove. Guys, I've obviously got a little puppy called Rocky. He joins us live in the studio. He's got his own chair and his own microphone.
If you've been looking at any of our social media today, you know that he's, man, they love him.
They love him.
The Survivor winners wanted a picture with him.
Mate, he's a celeb. But guys, you know what I want? I want to get him another brother or a sister.
Uh-oh, second child syndrome.
Look, you know what? I want to get a new puppy because Rocky, he hangs out a lot. You know, he has a good time all the time. But sometimes, you know, I've got to go to work, or if he's with Sash has to go to work. His days are a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. He's by himself at home. It's so sad. Like, if Sash has him, Sash is out the door at 5. He comes home at maybe 6:30. That's a long time. That's over 12 hours to be by himself.
It is. So your theory is,
he needs a little friend, a little buddy to play with. And so I want to get another puppy. But everyone's like, oh, it's so irresponsible. It's not irresponsible, guys. I'm having a good time. I'm a great mother to my puppy. He's the apple in my eye, as they say, and I could look after another one. And I think Rocky wants a brother or a sister.
So simply by calling 131060, you can find out, and you can tell Sam, should she get a second dog? Should she get another dog or not? It's as simple as that.
I know.
Because yesterday we were talking about it and I just flippantly said, and to be honest, I was sort of a bit half jokey mode. Just kind of going, yeah, why not? Get another one. You're like, okay, then I'm doing it. And I'm going to text Sash right now and saying, Rove said it was okay. I'm like, whoa, wait.
Well, you said it's okay because you were the first one when I originally mentioned it months ago. You said, no, Sam, don't get a second dog. So for you to go, yeah, why not? I was like, oh my God, Rove says yes, which means I can.
Discussion ends.
I know. And I text my mother-in-law and I was just like, do you think it's irresponsible if I get a pet? And she was so lovely. And she's like, look, you know, as long as he's got a yard and, you know, you can make it happen.
And you're a good mum.
I am. So I'm like, well, if Sasha's mum says yes and Rove says yes, I can have another dog, right?
Let's get to some calls. 131060, what do you reckon? Should Sam get another dog?
Rove and Sam.
Kelsey in Liverpool, do you think I should get another puppy?
Yes, I think you do. I think you'd make a great mum.
thank you, Kelsey. I mean, I was thinking the same thing, but I wasn't sure.
Sam is fist pumping the air, Kelsey.
I'm actually really pumped about that because lots of people are telling me I'm irresponsible, Kelsey.
No, look, Rocky needs a little brother or sister and it's going to keep him entertained at the same time.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And like, perfect example, guys. Rocky is hanging out in the studio today. If I have two, it'll be extra fun and everyone like
twice as
wins.
Many opportunities to do a poo on the boss's rug.
Exactly.
You know what? I think I like this idea now.
It's extra
I
fun
think I'm into this.
With an extra dog. It's a classic old saying.
And they won't know which one to blame. Could have been anyone.
Exactly. I want an orange fluffy one and call it Ginger. Anyway, I don't know. Anthony in Bankstown, do you think I should get another pup?
From experience, no, don't do it. I've got two puppies and I love them to death, but they can be an absolute handful.
Like, what sort of things do they do?
Well, if I leave them alone, they absolutely destroy the backyard.
Aww.
Completely rip it apart. When it comes time to feeding, there's always Sasha, my Rottweiler, always snatches Bella, my German Shepherd's food. Doesn't let her eat. Never.
Well, you've got two giant dogs, so they kind of... That's
but they're still puppies. They're only a few months apart.
Oh, that's a little bit cute.
They're only puppies, and already they're doing that. Oh, dear.
Yeah, no, they're a real handful.
Okay.
Time for walks. They walk me, I don't walk them.
All right, so we've got
Anthony.
Anthony saying, bad Sam, bad Sam. But let's see. We've got Sienna.
Sienna, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, Sienna.
Hi, Sienna. How old are you, Sienna?
I'm 11.
Oh, 11. Wow.
Oh, now Sienna.
Sienna, I reckon at 11 you are an expert in life choices. So what do you think Sam should do? Should she get another dog or not?
Sam should get another dog.
Sienna, see, guys. Why do you think I should get another puppy?
Because if your dog's left alone, it will have more fun with another dog.
That's exactly right. No one likes being left alone. It's sad. And then they just... you know, sit around wondering where everyone is when they can just play with their friend.
That's a good idea.
Oh, he's walking on the bench. Hello.
Sienna, thank you very much for calling. Hey, imagine Sienna winning her way to the beach house party in the Hamptons.
Mate, have a couple of cocktails.
Oh, my God. Sienna and friends. There'll be fairy bread.
Oh.
Maybe
some red cordial.
There
who
won't
knows?
Be any parents around. It's America. They love pumping kids with sugar. She'll have a great time.
Oh, Sienna.
I hope she
I'm going to get one for Sienna. I decided just
can
then.
We rig it so she wins? I'm being told yes. Great. Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for all your words of wisdom, Sam. So what are we saying? Ginger?
Yeah, I would love a little Ginger. It's, it's just really tough because it's really, you know, Sasha will kill me.
We'll have a chat with Dad. And then we'll see where we're at with this. But thank you very much. Rocky is now standing up on the chair. He's very alert. He's excited about the idea.
What a brother or his sister.
Great catch up today, Ro.
I had a ball too. I think I'm feeling good because of all the rest I'm getting at home.
I'm guessing you've got your new blinds.
That sounds a little personal. But yes, you're right. Our friends at Winston with a Y came down and sorted us out, not only with new blinds, but also shutters, awnings and CrimSafe products.
That's the sort of service you receive when you're dealing with the family-owned business that has over 48 years' experience.
And as I discovered, if you contact them now, you can have it all sorted by Christmas.
So go to winstonwithay.com.au.
That's Winston with a Y.
Why?
Well, because that's how they spell their name.
No, I know. I was just reminding people why.
Why is it spelled with a Y or just Y?
Why?
Why am I asking you about the why and why are you talking about the why?
You've really had too much sleep, haven't you?